KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Cloudy skies, and it's currently 56 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 74. Winds southeast at around 10 miles per hour. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. The Iowa Department of Public Health's coronavirus dashboard today shows there were 612 new positive COVID-19 cases reported since 10 a.m. on Friday and six additional deaths. Today, the IDPH had reported 78,839 total COVID-19 cases, 57,227 recoveries, and 1,264 deaths since the pandemic began. And there have been 730,265 Iowans tested for the virus. IDPH reported 6,247 lab test results received in the previous day, with 692 positive results and 5,539 negative results. Officials also report a positivity rate of 8.5% over the last 14 days. That's unchanged from yesterday. One of four Iowans have been tested for COVID-19, while one of 40 have tested positive. Those figures are also unchanged. Here in the KJAN listing area, Cass, Audubon, and Guthrie counties have two new COVID-19 positive cases each. One new case was reported in Madison County, three new cases in Harrison County, five more cases in Union County, six additional cases in Shelby County, and 17 more cases in Pottawatomie County. IDPH reports 39 long-term care facilities with coronavirus outbreaks. That, too, is unchanged from the previous report. There are 890 positive cases and 463 recoveries within those facilities. There have been 664 deaths in Iowa's long-term care facilities. And across the state, hospitalizations are up slightly to 282 as of today. The number of patients with COVID-19 who are in an ICU is down to 81. 34 people were admitted to a hospital with symptoms of the virus, 19 fewer than Friday, and 14 patients were on a ventilator. Make that 40 patients were on a ventilator. In southwest and western Iowa, hospitals report 9 people are hospitalized with COVID-19. 6 are in an ICU. 2 people were admitted to an area hospital with symptoms Friday, and 1 person remains on a ventilator. You can take a look at all the latest positive case numbers from Cass and surrounding counties, along with the number of persons recovered and the deaths in each county, in the same story on our news page at KJAN.com. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds yesterday signed a new proclamation continuing the public health disaster emergency for another 30 days. Bars, taverns, wineries, breweries, distilleries, nightclubs continue to be closed in Johnson and Story counties until 11:59 p.m. on September 27th. They may continue to sell alcoholic beverages for consumption off-premises. Restaurants in those two counties are still permitted to remain open but must stop selling and serving alcoholic beverages after 10 p.m. The proclamation also extends the other public health mitigation measures currently in place for businesses and other establishments until 11:59 p.m. on Sunday, October 18th. That includes the requirements for open bars and restaurants to ensure 6 feet of physical distance between each group or individual dining or drinking, to ensure all patrons have a seat at a table or a bar and consume alcohol or food while seated, and to limit congregating together closer than 6 feet. Requirements for social distancing, hygiene, and other public health measures to reduce the risk of transmission also remain in place for gyms, casinos, salons, theaters, and other establishments. The proclamation also provides additional regulatory relief to school districts and extends many of the previously issued regulatory relief measures necessary to respond to the public health disaster, including those related to health care, professional licensure, educational workforce, and the expiration of driver's licenses. The proclamation now remains in effect until 11:59 p.m. Sunday, October 18th. You can read the full proclamation through a link in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Full-depth patching work on Iowa Highway 165 or Abbott Drive in Carter Lake will require closing of the southbound right lane to traffic on Tuesday beginning at 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. Wednesday, September 23rd, weather permitting. And that's according to the Council Bluffs Garage. The Iowa DOT reminds motorists to drive with caution, obey the posted speed limit and other signs in the work area, and be aware that traffic fines for moving violations are at least double in work zones. As in all work zones, drivers should stay alert, allow ample space between vehicles, and, of course, wear your seatbelt. Elsewhere in the news, the death of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has thrust Iowa's U.S. senators, both Republicans, into the spotlight. And as the Senate's Republican leader said, there will be a vote this year on the person President Trump nominates to replace Ginsburg. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Earlier this summer, Senator Chuck Grassley said if there were a vacancy on the court, he would not recommend holding a committee hearing on a nominee. that would follow what happened in 2016. Grassley was chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee at the time and did not hold a hearing for President Obama's Supreme Court nominee. Senator Joni Ernst, who recently became a member of the Judiciary Committee, said in July the Republican-led Senate should proceed with hearings if a vacancy occurred in 2020, even if President Trump loses the election. Last night, shortly after Ginsburg's death was announced, Ernst's 2020 re-election campaign sent an email titled Breaking, The Future of the Supreme Court is on the Line. It sought donations to preserve what the email referred to as conservative values and constitutional rights. Ernst, a few hours later, issued a written statement saying the email never should have gone out last night. I'm O.K. Henderson.
And Atlantic Rising and the Atlantic Rotary Club on Friday presented Washington Elementary Principal Stacy Horning and staff with 300 hand sanitizer wristbands. The wristbands will be distributed to all educators and faculty to aid in the slowing the spread of COVID-19 in the school system. Kelsey Bishorner, Atlantic Rising Social Chair, explained how the idea came to be. She said that I was scrolling on my phone one evening and an ad popped up for hand sanitizer wristbands. I thought they were brilliant. Atlantic Rising was working on the Educational Appreciation Night at the time, and I thought this would be great if every faculty member could have one of these as they head back to school. Bishorner brought up the idea to Bailey Smith, Chamber Director and Rotary Member, and both thought it would be the perfect partnership to accomplish the project. The bands were purchased locally from J&J Design. The teachers and staff will wear them like a watch with the bulb of a sanitizer on the underside of their wrist to simply pump into their palm when sanitizer is needed. Bailey Smith says, as a service organization, one of Atlantic Rotary's focus areas is education and the ways the clubs can support and benefit students, faculty, and the community. After sharing the idea with Rotary board members, we all agree this would be a great partnership to aid and appreciate educators in the community. Atlantic Rotary generously donated $1,000 to help cover the cost of the hand sanitizer wristbands. They're made of silicone and have a refillable reservoir for hand sanitizer. The user has a bottle with a plastic needle that fits into the reservoir and allows the user to refill the wristband easily. Brian Harris, Atlantic Rotary Club president, said, "We recognize that this year has been particularly hard for all of the school's staff, and we understand that they are under a lot of stress." The Rotary Board, he said, voted unanimously to move forward to the project because we thought it would be one way that we could alleviate some of the stress. Even though we will not be able to have our annual Rotary auction, we're still out in the community, he says, and willing to help wherever we can. The Atlantic Fire Department reports there is a change in the Fire Prevention Week activities. The department will not be holding the annual pancake breakfast as was previously reported. Previously, I read the Fire Chief Tom Cavill says it was our initial hope that we could still hold the breakfast and do so in a way that we would be in compliance with the COVID best practices. However, after much discussion and planning and the ongoing high numbers of cases, we don't believe it's possible. Our mission, he said, is to protect the public and first responders, so we will postpone the breakfast and hope to hold one early next year. The breakfast raises funds for the annual fire prevention parade and fire prevention activities in the community. This year's parade was canceled earlier this year due to COVID issues. The department will still be doing fire prevention activities, Capel says, on a modified basis with local schools and daycares. The Cass County Sheriff's Office yesterday said an Anita man had been arrested Monday on two Sheriff's Office warrants. 60-year-old Darrell D. Armstrong was taken into custody on the warrants for violation of a no-contact order. He was released from the Cass County Jail the following day on $6,300 bond. And on September 12th at around 6 a.m., Cass County deputies reported to an accident on North Street in Wyota. A 2001 Ford F-250 pickup was located on the north side of North Street in a ditch with damage to the pickup, a street sign, and Mid-American Energy pole. No one was in the vehicle when it was located. Upon further investigation, 35-year-old Jeffrey Ford Lillard of Wyota was arrested on a charge of false report to a public entity. Lillard was booked into the Cass County Jail September 17th and released later that day on a $1,000 bond. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.